I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. We read the news. We listen to the news. We so often forget that the people in the news are people. The news that more than 70 coalition soldiers have died in Iraq in the last 2 weeks, along with hundreds of Iraqis, has brought that conflict into sharp focus. Military families are paying close attention to the other news this morning, the news that says many soldiers in Iraq will now have their time there extended. These are increasingly stressful times for the soldiers and their families. Those in the field really have no way to know what to expect around every street corner in any Iraqi town. Their parents and other family members can only watch and wonder what's next. This hour, three parents with sons in Iraq join us to talk about their thoughts. We'd like to have you with us as well. How is the experience of war different when you have loved ones on the front lines? And whether you have friends or family in Iraq or not, have your views on the war changed? Has the recent violence there reinforced your conviction that the U.S. should stay? Or do you think it's time for the troops to withdraw? Our number's 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. In this hour, we're going to get to know three people who cannot be with us today. They are three soldiers serving in Iraq. Sergeant Bryce Severson is a gunner with the 1st Armored Division. Bryce is a career soldier. He enlisted in the Army 7 years ago and was deployed to Iraq last May. Specialist Lamont Cooper is stationed with 110th Maintenance Company. He left his home in Arlington, Massachusetts last April for Iraq, where he repairs Humvees and trucks. Specialist Jason Gunn is a tanker with 137th Armored Battalion, deployed last Mother's Day. Jason was severely injured in November, but he is back now in Iraq serving with his unit. And so joining us this hour are their parents. Larry Severson is joining us from Richmond, Virginia. Larry, it's good of you to be with us.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
And here in the Boston studio, Willia Cooper is also with us. Willia, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And Pat Gunn is joining us from a studio in Philadelphia. Pat, thanks for coming in.
Good morning. Thank you.
And Pat, I understand that you talked with your son, Jason, just a couple of days ago. Is that right?
Yes, we talked to him on Sunday, Easter morning.
Now, that's a little unusual to get that phone call through, isn't it? It's normally email or letters.
It was very unusual to get the call. I believe that because it was a holiday that they were allowed to make very short phone calls to their family members. So we got to speak to Jason for about 3 minutes.
And how's he doing?
Well, he's very under a lot of stress, as they all are. They were just told that their time, which was due to be up in the end of April, has been extended for at least 3 months. So his unit, who was very anxious to come out of Iraq, is going to remain there for at least another 90 days.
So how did he sound?
Jason's very stressed out, I believe. He, as you mentioned earlier, he was severely injured back in November. And he went back to Iraq just a few weeks ago against medical advice. And he's back over there with his unit again and right back on the front lines.
All right, we will talk more about that a little bit later in the program, but I want to make sure that our other guests are here with us. Now, Willia, the last contact you had with Lamont, when was that?
It was just Saturday.
Was it a phone call, an email, a letter?
It was a phone call.
Yeah?
And a pretty happy one. I might be the unique parent of the three. Mm-hmm. He and his unit are en route back home as we speak.
Do you know that for sure?
I know that for sure.
You weren't too certain a couple of days ago then, right?
Well, you have to wait for this information to be confirmed, as you could expect. But, yes, they are en route home.
And he's been over there now, what, since almost exactly a year, right?
Yes, the 17th would be an actual year in country.
So he was sounding a little bit chipper when you talked to him on the phone?
He was sounding very chipper and giving me all kinds of orders and instructions about making sure his bedroom was in order and his social life is lined up when he returns.
All right, we're going to talk more about Lamont in a moment. But Larry Severson, I want to hear from you. You have had two sons in Iraq. Brandon, I understand, is after a year in Tikrit, is now home with his family in Texas?
Yes, he got back to Fort Hood to be with his wife and three children on March 11th. And one thing I vowed while he was in Iraq was that I would never take for granted that opportunity to just be able to pick up the phone anytime I wanted to. So I've called him about every two or three days since March.
How's he doing?
Since he's back. He's doing very well. He says he's jumpy at loud noises. He has trouble sleeping, but he keeps telling me that he's not suffering from that, the post-traumatic stress. His superiors are saying he's not suffering from it, but from just talking to him, he's seems to have a little bit of problem with noises and crowds, driving, and sleeping. So that's pretty bad.
Now, Bryce, 25 years old, does that make him the baby of the family?
Yes, it does. I have four sons. All four joined the military. One got out for medical discharge, and I have a son that's in the Navy on the USS Camden. And then Bryce is the baby, yes. And we did get an email. We got a phone call from him a week ago today from Kuwait. He had actually made it out of Kuwait and was there for about a week.
Was on his way home, Larry? Is that what was happening? Or
Yes. We were very excited that he was going back to be with his wife in Germany. And then we got a phone call on Thursday that he was going back into Iraq. And then we actually got an email from him on Friday, and he is in Iraq, and he'll be there for, they're telling him, 120 days. Mm-hmm. And he's a gunner on a Bradley, so he really didn't have much equipment when he went in, mainly his Bradley equipment. But he told us that now he has fragmentation grenades and AT-4 rocket launchers and high-explosive grenades for a grenade launcher. And he wrote in the email that it sounds like there's going to be some shootouts with the bad guys. And he actually then wrote, I just hope that we are the good guys. So he's very apprehensive about going back in. His unit will be responsible for taking back some of the cities that the Shias took over. And now it was good news to hear that they've kind of stepped back a little bit in controlling those cities. So I hope and pray that it won't be so dangerous for our troops.
Still, though, to get that four-month extension, the news must be just crushing for the family.
All of us were devastated. It was my wife and I went out and ate Tuesday after he had called that he was in Kuwait because we knew that he was safe. And so we went and ate. We didn't take our yellow ribbon down. I still wear my yellow ribbon on my shirt because I wasn't going to remove those or take the ribbon down until he was actually in Germany with his family. And so it's another 120 days.
Will you, the news, it's like somebody gets a bit of good news, somebody gets a bit of bad news. You work with the families. You must.
Well, I'm a chairperson of the family readiness group that supports the 110th, and it's made up of all of the families and the volunteers. And I not only have experienced a range of emotions when Lamont went over, but I've been an eyewitness to how other family members are experiencing this. And it runs the gambit. We exist as a family readiness group because we realize, and the military realizes, the support that is needed and that no one else really understands what it's like. I didn't even understand what it would be like until my own child went into a war situation. It's been the worst year of my life.
Worst year of your life.
I agree. Ditto on me.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
No, that's fine. Pat Gunn, you are yourself a former soldier. You were in the Navy for 6 years.
Yes, I was.
And I mean, everybody here has got close connections with the military. Why has this year been so tough for you, knowing what you know about the way the military works?
First, let me say that I am extremely supportive of what our soldiers are working on over in Iraq. I believe that they're over there doing the job that they were told to do. It's very difficult speaking out against the war to not come across as anti-American or not supporting the troops. And it's you have to pick your words carefully sometimes to make sure that people understand that, you know, we're very much in support. In support of our troops. We want them home. We want each and every one of them home. Every day that you hear of another soldier being killed, it's just this weight that family members carry every single day until they're looking into the eyes of their child. It's just incredible. Never in a million years thought I would be doing what I was doing. After Jason came home, when he was discharged from the hospital, they let him come home with us so that I could attend to his wounds because the wards were getting so filled over there. And I, as I was removing some of the bandages the first morning he was home, and I looked up at him and I said, I never in a million years thought I would be doing this to my son. However, I'm very glad that I was able to do that, because there's a lot of parents out there that didn't get that opportunity.
Pat, I know exactly what you're saying. And one of my concerns or questions has been, if we are going to be in Iraq and Afghanistan and other parts of the world, are we fully preparing our soldiers and protecting them to the fullest extent? Are we making sure that their vehicles are armored? Are we giving them all the supports that we need, our government? Because I had such mixed feelings about mm-hmm. seeing our soldiers go over there. But I, like you, support the troops 100% and want to see as many of them come home as safely as possible.
Well, I believe that in my experience with Jason, Jason was on a tank before, and because they didn't want to tear the streets up in Iraq anymore, they had changed them to Humvees so that they wouldn't destroy the streets so much. Jason had put a piece of Kevlar between him and the door because the vehicles are unarmored. And that's what saved his life. Unfortunately, his sergeant who was sitting behind him did not survive that. These soldiers have post-traumatic stress syndrome. They become suicidal. They're having deep mental and physical damage done to them, and yet they're being told that they, after their hospital stay, that they have to return. So I don't believe that they're being taken care of as well as Americans would think that they're being taken care of. These soldiers are going back into duty, like my son, who is suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome. His medication has been taken away from him, and he's supposed to stand there and back up someone else who is depending on him to do so. God forbid something would happen where Jason wouldn't be able to do that.
Now, how Pat, when he went back to Iraq, they said he was going to get a desk job, but what happened to that?
As soon as he got back to Iraq, we had opened a congressional inquiry to try to find out why they were sending him back. And the response to us was a statement that they had typed up and had Jason sign the minute he returned, saying that he was fit for duty, he did not need any medication, he didn't need any therapy, and he was going to be out on the front lines, and that's where he wanted to be. And it was signed by him and faxed to us.
He didn't want to sign that, did he?
I haven't been able to get an answer out of him about that. I believe that one of the things he told us before he left was that they were shaming him and calling him a coward if he didn't want to return. And Jason received a medal for his bravery back in August when the UN building was attacked, and he went in there and pulled people out of there, and the award says that he risked life and limb to go in there. So Jason's no coward. He was just ill.
Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. This hour we're talking about Sergeant Bryce Severson, Specialist Lamont Cooper, Specialist Jason Gunn, with their parents, and asking questions about whether or not it is reasonable at this time to raise questions about the war and still support the troops at the same time. 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection from NPR. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. My guests with me this hour, Willia Cooper. Her son Lamont is an Army reservist in the 110th Maintenance Company. Pat Gunn is also with us. Her son Jason is with the 137th Armored Battalion. Larry Severson is with us. His son Bryce is a gunner with the 1st Armored Division. And we're talking about what's going through the minds of parents these days while there's so much news about the escalation in fighting, questions about whether or not people are going and staying in Iraq. 1-800-423-8255. We're going to take our first call from Nashua, New Hampshire, and Risha is with us. Hi, Risha.
Hi, Dick. The question, Dick, that I really wanted to ask all of you, which is, you know, something that's been, you know, sort of nagging at me since the time we went to war with Iraq, has been that why is, and I'm originally from India, so maybe I just don't get, you know, what the history of this country has been and why people feel so strongly about this. But why is there, this conflict between supporting the troops and supporting the policies of the government? I just don't get it, because growing up in India, the country was at war a lot of times, and I had cousins in the army, and we all, made care packages, and we were all so supportive of our troops and wanted them safe and sound coming back. But we were very against the fact that the government was getting into a war that, mm-hmm. Which was threatening the lives of our loved ones.
We're going to go all around on that one, Risha, because I think it's a...
I haven't gotten an answer to that question.
Well, you'll get three of them just now, and I want to start with Larry, because I think, Larry, your experience here is perhaps the most unique of the parents on the panel. Why don't you talk to Risha here?
I started protesting the war back in March of last year before either of my sons went to Iraq, and I told them that I was supporting them the best way I could by trying to keep the war from happening, and then I protested during the war, and I protested continuously through the conflict and occupation, and I've been down in front of my federal courthouse 139 times. And my sons, I've been very vocal about my opposition to the war, but my support for the troops. And my sons occasionally will hear about my actions, and they'll hear it from one son heard it from a general. Most have heard it from other soldiers. And I'd like to read just two emails that I received from my sons, and this kind of talks a little bit about what you're saying about whether you can support the troops and still be opposed to the administration. This is from Bryce, and it was from Baghdad, and it was just on February 26th, and he says, "Keep on doing what you're doing because the people are finally starting to notice what is happening. Tell everyone that you run into thanks for the support, and the ones that give you crap, tell them they can kiss my ass. Pick up a rifle and join the troops, or pick up a sign and get the troops home." So for Bryce, there's no middle of the road. There's no fence sitting. Either you're going to check your deer rifle in at the airport and come over and join him, or else you're going to join his dad on the street with a sign to get him home. And then Brandon on October 28th sent me an email from Tikrit, Saddam's hometown. He wrote, "A lot of people have seen the articles that you are in. They will ask if that's my dad. When I say yes, they look at me funny. I tell them that you have three sons in the military and two of which are in Iraq. You can say or do whatever you want. You've earned it." So these are two soldiers, both of them in the infamous Sunni Triangle, both of them frontline troops, Bryce out on the street in a Humvee, Brandon doing raids looking for Saddam loyalists. Both of them supported my right to speak out. Both knew that I was supporting them with my actions, and at no time did either of them say they thought I was aiding and abetting the enemy or making their life dangerous or more difficult. So the soldiers know the difference between supporting the troops and supporting an administration and their actions. So it's just the administration's trying to convince the American people that you can't be a good American and question Washington.
And I agree with you. I do not personally support this war. And I think the reason that we have to say two statements, that we don't support the war, but we support the troops, is indicative of the times that we're in. I thought you could be an American and express your views, and the fact that you expressed your views while supporting the country was enough. But in today's times, it's not. And one is quick to be labeled un-American and unpatriotic. I would die for this country personally, but I certainly don't want my son to die or any of our sons and daughters to die for a cause to which I am so opposed.
Pat, let's hear from you.
I agree. I think that this whole statement about supporting the troops, if you can recall back in the days of Vietnam when our soldiers came home and they were spit upon and people refused to talk to them and they weren't given the support or the care they needed when they got back. And of course, nobody wants to see a repeat of that. And I think that's one of the reasons why there's this statement to, that you have to support the troops. And, by God, we should be supporting the troops because our government is not. Our government is sending soldiers in there who are not well. They're not equipping them properly. And I think that is a huge piece to this, that soldiers are in there. They might have 120 people in a unit and maybe 14 flak jackets between them. Parents are sending military equipment over to their sons and daughters because it's not being issued to them. A captain that I spoke to when I was over in Germany said, there was a sergeant in the car with us, and he said, you know, these guys are getting over there, and he said, they're not being trained on the proper equipment. And this captain said, that's not our fault. They haven't given us the weapons to train them on. So these young men and women are going over to Iraq, being trained on equipment that they're not issued once they get there. They don't have the proper armored vehicles or flak jackets. And that's where, you know, the Americans are supporting our troops. However, our government is not. Where's all the money going to that they said is going to support this war effort? It's certainly not going to our troops.
1-800-423-TALK to join us. Let's take our next call from Columbia, South Carolina. Ken's on the line. Ken, thanks for calling.
Thank you. I'd just like to say I'm very proud of our troops. I am also very proud of our president. And I would very strongly say this, that because our troops are over there doing what they're doing, we don't have these explosions and terrorist attacks here in the United States. Sacrifice has to be made when you have people doing the things that they did to the United States. And I think we're too quick to forget 9/11. Now, I certainly feel for the parents, and I'm sure I'd feel exactly the same way if my son was over there fighting. But I don't think that you can say I can support the troops and not support the country. I think we need to be a lot more patriotic than we are.
Why is it, Ken, that those two things...
to say about helping other people, if helping the Iraqis get away from the torture chambers and the rape rooms was not something worthwhile, then I should shut up and not call again.
No, Ken, I want you to stay with me because I want you to explain in your mind why it is that those two things have to be linked together, support for the troops and support for the president. It's kind of where we are with this on and the parents.
Okay.
Can you clarify why it is you think those two things need to be linked together? I'd like to hear that from you, Ken.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say this, that if you are one of the troops over in Iraq fighting, and you have people over here that are questioning the decisions of the administration, who is the chief of the services, and over all of the services, you're undermining the enthusiasm of that soldier for doing the job that he has to do. And if you don't go into this full force with full enthusiasm, you're going to be one of the ones that gets killed. So if you're protesting the war and your son's out there fighting, you're taking away his enthusiasm because he can't go there 100%.
Hang on,
Ken. You're not 100%.
Ken, hang on. I want to make sure that you get your turn, but that the parents do first do as well. Let's hear from Pat first.
I would just like to make a point that the reason that this war was supposedly started was because we were going to go over there to look for weapons of mass destruction. We were told that that was the reason we had to go over there and protect our country. Excuse me. And so we supposedly went over there looking for those weapons of mass destruction, did not find them. We toppled Saddam Hussein. He's now sitting in a jail cell. Why are we still there?
Ken, back to you.
Put it around with the United Nations and allowed them to keep our troops on the sidelines while they hid the weapons or sent them to Syria.
I'm going to ask Larry to step in here. Is it about weapons of mass destruction? Is it about who's telling the truth? How do you square this?
I'm a Texas oil man. I grew up out west. I was a petroleum geologist for 15 years. I lived in Midland the same time George Bush did. So I think that he's not squaring with the people, and it's really about settling a vendetta between the Bush family and Saddam Hussein. And I think it's about allowing the American oil companies access to this oil in Iraq. And they keep changing history all the time with us, saying it was a connection with 9/11, there wasn't one. It was a connection with Al-Qaeda, there wasn't one. There were weapons of mass destruction, there aren't any. And the bad thing that I'm seeing from the administration is they keep changing history on why we went in. Well, now what they're doing is they're changing definitions. It used to be if you attacked or talked badly about the president or the administration, it was partisan politics. Now they're making it that, no, you're unpatriotic. And there's such a big difference between partisan politics and patriotism. We're parents that are concerned about our children being sent over to a war that was all on false pretenses. Mm-hmm. And I have four sons, all went in the military. I can't think of anybody more patriotic than my family.
Okay, and so let me just interrupt for half a second if I can, Larry, because I want to just go right to the point that Ken raised and hear you on that, because he's saying that if you say it's a bad war, then the reason the people are there is called into question. And you're saying that, I mean, Ken is hearing you saying that if your son were to kill somebody, it's not a good kill. It's not for freedom. It's not for the right reasons.
Well, let me just say, both my sons that went to Iraq joined to be 20-year career, and because of Iraq, both are leaving the Army. Brandon only has 8 years left. He said there's no way he would ever go back to Iraq, that they can't pay him enough money to go back to Iraq, and he's leaving the Army. And as soon as Bryce can, he's getting out. So I think the troops realize that it's not built up to what it's supposed to be, because both my sons are quitting. And Brandon in 2001 was considered the best master gunner in the whole United States Army and got a trophy for it. Bryce was all through the Balkans during the peacekeeping conflicts there, and he was to be the invasion forces for Kosovo in 99. Neither of them thought about quitting at that time. Brandon's mm-hmm. been on the DMZ for 2 years, and so something about Iraq just doesn't square it with the soldiers for them to be leaving en masse. I talked with my daughter-in-law at Fort Hood. She said every single family she knows, that soldier's quitting.
Willia, your brothers all served in the military. Your husband was in the service.
That's correct.
Lamont is coming home. You're going to get him soon.
But he may go back.
And are you going to say that's the way it's meant to be? Are you going to, kiss him on the forehead and say, God, good luck to you?
This is such a difficult question, and it's such a difficult topic. When Lamont joined the National Guard, he told my husband and I after he had done it, when his unit was deployed, I saw the fear in his eyes the day that he got the call. But my husband and I sat down with him, and we told him that he had sworn an oath to this country and to his commander-in-chief, and we expected him to carry it out to the best of his ability. I still expect that of Lamont, and he has done so. But I still have a right as an American, and our history proves that I have the right to feel the way that I feel. And it bothers me that we are so quick to throw labels at each other rather than spend a little more time and understanding each other's positions. I think it is the fact that our history says we must allow dissent that makes me feel so strongly and willing to speak out as I am.
You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. 1-800-423-8255 to join the conversation. Next to Ellen, who's calling in from Leverett, Massachusetts. Hi, Ellen.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Listening to families, what I'm really struck by is what a McCarthyite tactic this administration is using to try to prevent any dissent, even from people who are making the ultimate sacrifice, whose children are there, framing patriotism in terms of unilaterally supporting this policy. And I think it's outrageous, especially since these people, Wolfowitz, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Bush, have no military history of their own, and their children are certainly not in Iraq fighting. That's my comment.
I wonder, Pat, whether or not the McCarthyism is stretching it a little bit here. I mean, where everybody was basically called a traitor and some of them jailed.
It's very difficult to speak out against the war, as I said earlier, without coming off as being unpatriotic. I think your point where people are connecting these two things, and if you have anything bad to say about what our government is doing, that you're being unsupportive of our soldiers, and it's just not true. I think that everyone that I have spoken to is very supportive of the soldiers. I volunteer at the USO, and I talk to people all the time, and every soldier that comes in there, I give them a big hug, and we send care packages, just like the first caller said. I mean, we do all of these things. It's our government that is having, that we're questioning. We're questioning why they're choosing, even after all of this time, to remain there in this very, very dangerous situation. to stay over there when at this point we need to bring our soldiers home?
Pat, the day that we can no longer question our government is the day that we cease to be America, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
That's right. I agree. Most people in my town know about it's Richmond, and there's about 1 million people here. But I've had my house egged. And the one thing I would like to say about patriotism is, you know, there's 100 senators, there's 437 representatives and a president, vice president. So there's 537 elected officials in Washington. I have 3 sons in the military right now, and I had 2 in Iraq. I have 3 times the number of children serving in the military than all of the representatives and their elected officials in Washington. And there's only one, the senator from South Dakota, with a son. So I think I should have a right to be in this conversation on naming, on saying who's a patriot. And it's my wife and I. We have, you know, we put our sons into the military because we love our country. And these people that don't want their children to be in the military or serve their country, then they're trying to tell us we're unpatriotic when we're the ones whose children are over there fighting.
And is that shifting at all, Larry, the kind of flack that you took early on, because you've been at this protesting now for over a year? Is that changing at all?
Oh, yes. It's dramatic. When I first started in March and April down on the street, people would yell and scream and cuss and shoot me the finger and say I'm unpatriotic, I should be ashamed of myself, that I'm a communist, any words you can think of. And in May, it got really bad, especially around May 1st when the president declared the war basically over. Everybody was yelling at me, go home, can't you, you know, get alive, get a job, read the newspaper. But it's better. I'll mention it after the break.
1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK to join this conversation today, this hour, with 3 parents of boys who are serving in Iraq right now. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. Dick Gordon, you're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. This hour with me on the program, Larry Severson. His son Bryce is a gunner with the 1st Armored Division serving in Iraq. Pat Gunn's son Jason is 24 years old, is with the 137th Armored Battalion. He is also in Iraq. And Willia Cooper is with me. Her son Lamont is an Army reservist in the 110th Maintenance Company. And he is in Iraq but supposed to be on his way home. Our number is 1-800-423-8255. We're going to take our next call from Belmont, Massachusetts. Jim's joining us. Jim, thanks for calling.
You're welcome. I just wanted to, first of all, say that I think all the parents, and I'm listening to this whole program, seem to be patriots. You know, I don't know everything about their backgrounds, but they all seem to be supporting, in principle, their children being in the military. And it seems to be in opposition to the war that I'm hearing, and also, you know, their frustration about not being able to speak out against the war. However, I do disagree with them about they're speaking out against the war in one way. I think they have a right to speak out against the war. I think that's a great freedom we have in the United States, and we don't want to lose that at any cost. It's the most basic freedom that you can have. But I think they're ignoring the counter effects of that speech, and that, as we see with terrorist activities, what terrorists want to do is they want to create a public perception in the U.S., and they're trying to the burning of bodies, which is a horrendous thing, was done not for a military victory, but to try to frighten and try to stir up anger in the U.S. and try to withdraw support for the war. And I think the parents are underestimating the fact that their speech does have some counter effects. I'm not saying to stop doing it, but I think you have to recognize that when you speak out against the war, yes, you may help to establish policy in the U.S., but in this international world where media goes all around the world, they are also being heard back in Iraq, and people in Iraq are going to hear that. And they're going to say, and particularly the terrorists are going to say, hey, we're having an effect. So, what we're doing is working.
So you would say, Jim, even if you have the feelings that the 3 parents who are with me are having, that it's counterproductive to express them publicly?
No, I'm just saying, and frankly, I don't know where I would come down on this. I think it's a tough balancing act. I just want them to recognize that there is a counter. You can't have it all one way. People who want to have it don't speak at all are wrong because they're saying you're unpatriotic to speak out. I think they are flat wrong because there is a patriotic aspect of trying to steer our country in the right direction, trying to make sure policy is proper. However, if you take the other extreme and say we can speak out and it has no effect upon no what some people are calling unpatriotic, and I don't think that's the right terminology, but no undermining of the efforts in Iraq effect and undermining of the troops, I think you're being dishonest with yourself as well.
But, Pat Gunn, I wonder if you can speak to the point that Jim is raising first, would you?
It's very interesting that people think that we're undermining the troops and their effort for this war. When you ask yourself at this point, what is this war all about? It's taken on a whole new meaning. The original reasoning for having this war was, as I said earlier, to go find weapons of mass destruction and to protect our country. Why are we there at this point when Saddam Hussein is in jail, that they haven't found any weapons of mass destruction? Please tell me why soldiers are continuing to die, why they're continuing to be maimed. Military Families Speak Out, which is the organization that I belong to, years ago, military families were very frightened to speak out for ramifications, for not only for themselves, but for their soldiers and serving in the military. I think that we're the people who are protecting our soldiers. We're the people that are saying that our soldiers are in danger over there, that this war is unjustified and it's illegal, and we need to be out of there.
Although, William, I have heard people say that, yes, whatever, you know, weapons of mass destruction, whatever the original reasons, and even if it happens to be changing, whatever explanation comes from Washington, that the U.S. military went in there with all its strength and broke what was in place and therefore has this kind of moral obligation to stick around long enough till the people either put it back together or the Americans themselves put it back together. And that's a rationale that a lot of people use for staying there. What do you think?
I think that if we stay in a place that increasingly we learn is not the place for us to be, for us to stay there because we've made a decision and we're going to stick by it regardless, is wrong. I think that if we find that we need to come out of there, we should come out of there. I also wonder why Iraq. There have been many other countries around the world that have had dictators who have treated their people in terrible, terrible ways. What is it that was so unique about Iraq? I haven't found the answer either, except that, yes, I'll say the old word, they do have oil.
That's right.
Yes. I'd like to make a comment for the caller. When you talk about the I'm sorry, I lost my...
That's all right. Jim, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, fine. I just wanted to know that you'd be able to respond here. Do you want to go ahead, Larry?
Yes, thank you. Talking about encouraging the enemy, I can't stress enough that every time I talk to my sons on the phone, I ask them, do you feel threatened by my actions? Do you want me to stop if you think I'm undermining what you're doing? And not one time did they ever say that they felt that I was making Iraq more dangerous for them.
Would they, Larry, though? Would those boys say to their father, who they look up to, change your behavior?
Yes, they would say, Dad, are you crazy? Okay. Stop doing this, you know. But let me just say that as far as I'm concerned, to point a finger at encouraging the guerrillas, look at the July speech by the president when he egged them on, telling him our sons were disposable and, bring them on. If anybody encourages the enemy, it was that July speech, and it's been escalating ever since.
Jim?
I actually disagree with that. I mean, and let me just put up front that I'm against Bush for other reasons. I'm not going to be voting for him in this presidential election. I'm hoping to have a Democrat in office. However, I think with the Iraq war, first of all, these are parents who want their soldiers safe, that they're not recognizing, and I understand that. And trust me, I don't have a daughter that old, but I have a daughter, and I understand the value of being a parent and the love you have. But a soldier's job is not to be safe above all else. It is to risk yourself for a greater cause, and that is an incredibly noble job, and I totally salute these people. I have a friend who's a lifetime Navy SEAL, and he's probably over there right now. I don't ask him what he's doing, but I mean, it's incredibly valuable what they're doing, but risk is part of the job. I mean, that's almost the definition of a soldier, is that you are going to be risking yourself. And as far as the reason for the war, frankly, I think the Bush administration was dishonest, might be putting it too strong, mm-hmm. but perhaps not. They were they let on early on, and I remember this is before Bush went to Congress to get the vote from the UN to get the vote from Congress to support a UN resolution. Bush said something about the need for change in the Middle East, and I think that is the true motivation of this war. I think weapons of mass destruction were a cover. It was something which is more substantive rather than a vague, we need change.
Jim, I wonder if you mind if I interrupt you here, because sure. there's a point that I wanted to go back to with Willia here in the studio. And Willia, I'm just looking through the list of the names of the soldiers that we've been talking about. Larry's four boys, Bryce, Brandon, Brent, Brian, Pat's son, Jason. These are all people who signed up as career soldiers. Your son, Lamont, is a reservist. And I'm wondering, when you hear the conversation about dedication, duty, the sort of noble calling, is that in any way different through the eyes of the mm-hmm. of the reservist family?
It isn't, and it is. And let me just distinguish. There are the reserves, and there is the National Guard, and the
right.
two are slightly different. And Lamont is in the National Guard. You heard me say earlier that when he told us he joined and when he was called up and deployed, we requested and encouraged him to stand by his oath. And I remain fervent, my husband and I remain fervent in that wish for him. But there are some effects that this has on National Guard soldiers and their families that many people aren't aware of. Many of the fathers and mothers who have been deployed were working in other jobs, making far more money than they are being paid by the government. That's just a fact. Some of the National Guard families, not necessarily here in Massachusetts, but around the country, are suffering financially, extreme financial hardship. I think you may say you should have known, but I don't think many National Guard folks thought, at least our son did not think when he joined up, that he would be sent to a war zone. My husband and I were happy when he joined. We thought it would help him to, quote, be a man, or help him to mature. And in many ways that it has. And I hope none of the listeners think that I'm sitting here saying all of this has been wrong or bad. He's managed to accumulate quite a sum of money in his banking account since he's been away. We've seen him grow in his maturity and his decision making. But I think, Jim, you are right. I'm a mother, and my first concern is my son and my son's health and safety.
You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. Larry, good opportunity for me to talk to you about what it was that your boys thought they were doing when they enlisted. I mean, you made the point to someone here at the program that it wasn't about getting an education. They wanted to fight, and they have the fight.
Yes, Brandon and Bryce both joined as frontline troops. They wanted to serve their country, and if it meant going to battle, they would gladly do it, no questions asked, and planned on being in it for 20 years. But there's just I don't know what it is, but for both of them, something happened in Iraq. Brandon will only say that it's he didn't like being away from his children, but he'd already done two tours in Korea. And he knew he would be going back again. And they love their country. And it's very hard on both of them because they don't know what they're going to do now that they're getting out. They just know they're not going back to Iraq. Brandon, at least. Bryce is in Iraq again. But so it's just a strong love of country. And they wanted to serve their country on the front lines. And they have both done it nobly. And I am extremely proud.
Pat, and I would imagine that in your own consideration of what Jason has been through, the effect on his hearing, his bunged up elbow, his limp, his post-traumatic stress disorder, and the fact that he is still over there leaves you wondering what kind of man he'll be when the war is over.
I've spoken about this before. I'm very concerned. Excuse me. All Jason ever wanted to do was be in the Army. That's all he's ever wanted to do since he was a little kid. Knew absolutely full well that there was the imminent threat of a war was, he could see that and was very willing to go to Iraq when this first started because he thought he was protecting our country, as most soldiers thought. They were over there protecting our country, and we were very much for that. What am I going to get back when Jason comes home? That's our fear. You know, he's over there injured, as many soldiers are. Is he going to get the kind of support that he needs when he returns? Are we going to have someone who's going to be able to be a functioning member of society? Jason, like Larry's boys, is getting out. There's not a whole lot of call for tankers out here in the civilian world. So he's going to have to rethink his whole life. And with that, he has to deal with the fact that of the things that he's seen over there and his injuries. I think that I'm very frightened for him and other soldiers like him who have faced what they have faced and are dealing with the things that they're dealing with, post-traumatic stress syndrome, being suicidal, being severely injured, maimed. How are these soldiers going to come back and function in society? And
let me stop you there for half a second, Pat, because I'm down to my last minute of the program. Okay. And Willie, I did want to ask you, is there anything in your mind that you would like to hear the president say? He's holding a news conference tonight. He's talking about Iraq. He's talking about 9/11. Is there anything that you would like to see the commander-in-chief say?
I'm not sure that I really need him to say much of anything for my purposes at this time. I would appreciate it, though, that as the president, I think he could do a lot by encouraging Americans or making it safer for Americans to voice a different view in the right venue. I understand Jim's concern that we not have the enemy think that we're undermining our government. But on the other hand, as the commander-in-chief and the president, I think he could do a lot to set the tone for how we debate effectively in this country.
And I want to thank the parents of Lamont Cooper, Jason Gunn, and Bryce Severson for being with us on the program today. You guys have spoken eloquently about your boys. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection.